In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's always kind of ironic that we never actually read the gospel except at the blessing of the palms on Saturday, when everyone is waving the palms at Jesus, and they're all shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, Hosanna. I just learned after all these years that the word Hosanna is not the Hebrew equivalent of Yay, Jesus. It means Jesus, save us, Son of David, save us. It means save us. What a scene that first Palm Sunday must have been, with thousands of Jews gathered from all over the known world in Jerusalem for the Passover, and almost all of them trying to get a glimpse of this Jesus that they have been hearing about since they showed up in Jerusalem. This wonder worker, this miracle worker, this thorn in the side of the Pharisees and the high priests. Is this the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one who's going to save us from the Romans? Now, he doesn't look too prepossessing. Oh, certainly he looks calm and dignified, maybe even a little quiet, but there are no harangues from the balconies. He's not sponsoring any torchlight rallies, and as far as making radical and revolutionary speeches, he's really not doing that. He's just making some very pointed talks here and there, being that thorn in the side of the high priests and the Pharisees, who are very, very jealous of him. And they are so jealous because there's a dynamic taking place that is drawing people to him, in front of him, behind him, on both his sides. And there he is riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And the thousands are waving their palm fronds, delirious and happy and screaming, "Save us, Son of David!" They know that if anyone could possibly deliver them from the yoke of the Romans, it will be this fearless rabbi, because I am sure that his reputation among all the peoples, that this guy fears no one. He's afraid of no earthly authority. Not the Romans, not the scribes, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the high priest. This has to be the Messiah. He's got to be the one. And so then they offer him a crown. But he refuses the crown. He turns down this chance to be their king, their general, their potentate. So sure is he that he did not come for that purpose that he vanishes from their sight. He knew so much more deeply than I could ever know, or the people could have ever known, that to have accepted that crown would have been the most superficial thing he did in 3 years of a public life. He who for those 3 years worked miracle after miracle, cured person after person, who spent countless hours preaching and teaching about the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God, never talked about the kingdom of man, except to dismiss it. He who had tried to show the people the real connection between God the Father and himself, God the Son, and tried to teach these children of Adam and Eve how they were connected to him, the Son. He knew with divine wisdom that to be an earthly king is to be hardly more than just a leader of the rabble, an underground terrorist, a petty politician who sells himself for votes and for popularity. How foolish for any one of us to think that this tin crown would have been better than what they were going to offer him on Friday, the crown of thorns. How superficial for any one of us to think that to have sat on a throne of marble would have been better than to have been pinned to a wooden cross. How wrong for any of us, and I say this by myself included, I'm always thinking this, but how wrong it is to think that were he brought down to the level of Barabbas, just another unshaven, unruly, malcontent, with an army of equally unruly and unshaven, disreputable followers, how wrong to think that he brought down to the level of Barabbas, he'd be any more than a final footnote in some encyclopedia in 1,000, 2,000 years. Now, this is not meant to be poetic or sentimental, but he did possess a true kingship, way more important than an earthly kingship. He was truly king, but you don't see how he rules until Friday, when all of his subjects, all of his citizens, all of his court, his retinue, they line up at the foot of the cross, which has become the true throne of this true king. But you can only see how he is king, and you can only see his kingdom with the eyes of faith. Who's in front of him on this throne of the cross? The sick and the suffering are there. The sick and the suffering are holding on for dear life. And the confused and the lonely are there, and the troubled, then they look up to him for guidance and for strength. The heartbroken are there. The burdened are there. And they are relieved by being so close to him. And filing by to salute their king on the cross of the throne of the cross are the crippled, the lame, and the halt. And they won't be cured in this life. They'll always be with their wheelchairs and their rock and their crutches and their canes. But their hearts leap with joy to see their Lord and their King. They're joined by thieves and prostitutes and beggars and braggarts, the sinners of every type of every type. They walk by his cross with their heads bowed. These are the ones whom no one will forgive. And these are the ones who cannot even forgive themselves. But he will, because he is their king, who loves them in their sorrow for sin. Before his cross stand the millions of aborted babies, the discarded and disposed of children of our society. And since their mothers and their fathers won't take them, he will. And he'll love them like no one else would. The senior citizens are there with their walkers and their wheelchairs, and they approach the throne of their king. They who become such a bother to their adult children, he will take care of them. And he will wipe them, and he will clean them, and he will help them walk, and he will be their servant king. This is the court of Christ. The poor, the sick, and the despised, these are the ones who form his court. Now, they weren't there on Sunday shouting the silly hosannas and waving the silly palm fronds, but they would all be there on Friday when he needed them most, which is when they most need him, when he's on the cross. We're now in Holy Week. May we not be distracted by the palm fronds and the hosannas, but may we see in his cross his throne. And may we see in his shame and degradation his glory. May we see in his crucifixion and death his gift of eternal life. May we see in this Son of David a real Messiah, a true king who would never ask his people to die for him, but rather who would willingly and happily die for them. And that's the only kind of king worthy of the name King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.